The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
Alright, here we go. 3, 2, and
like
one.
Earlier. Sorry.
Good Wednesday. It is Footy Prime, and this is not the third time we're trying to record this. I assure you, this is the first time.
Never heard anything like this before.
Dubs is here. Wong is here. Jimmy's here. Craig's here. JC isn't here, but that's okay because we have a fill-in. Yeah. Our first politician ever in almost 1,000 episodes here on Footy Prime. Canada's Secretary of State for Sports and recently named the Sherpa for Canada at the World Cup. It's the Honourable Adam Vancouverden. Adam, welcome to Footy Prime. First timer, how you doing?
Charms, I'm great. And it's great to be on Footy Prime for the first time, not the third time. It's nice to make this work. And thank you for the invitation. It's a sincere privilege to be here.
Well, this first question, it might sound familiar, but
Jeez. Happens. Reminder, notification.
So, Adam, you're the Sherpa for the World Cup. What does this mean?
Yeah, well, I know that like Sherpa is traditionally like a mountaineering term that most people know as somebody who's carrying heavy bags up mountains, but it's also used in a diplomatic context. I didn't know that before being asked to be the Sherpa for FIFA Men's World Cup next year. But it's used a lot in like G7 and G20 contexts. There's always a Sherpa that makes sure that those events are diplomatic successes, political successes, and safe and secure events for everybody. So that's my job for the World Cup next year, to liaise with my counterparts. I have one in Mexico and one in the United States. Andrew Giuliani down in Washington and Gabriela Cuevas down in Mexico City. So we are working together, as well as I'm working with all of the federal departments involved in making sure that the World Cup next year in Toronto and Vancouver are massive successes. All 13 games are going to be huge. And the other part of my job is being the biggest Team Canada fan in the world, and I've even got an honorary jersey with my name.
Oh,
thank you. With the V dot for Van, which I appreciate it as well.
Right on. That's great. But, you know, as a former athlete, world-class athlete, I love the fact that you got into politics. And as I might have asked this question before sometime, but
it sounds familiar.
Is this something that you wanted to get involved with, politics? Was it your dream job after your career was over?
No, thanks, Craig. I think being a politician is anybody's dream job, then you should probably visit a therapist. politics is, for me, is a means to better outcomes for Canadians. And, you know, I got involved in politics, I suppose, back when I met Amy around the 2008 Olympics, and saw an opportunity to be part of the Athletes Commission with the Canadian Olympic Committee, and eventually joined the board of directors of the Canadian Olympic Committee, and just developed a recognition of the fact that when you amplify people's voices and provide a platform and a venue for good ideas and people's perspectives, then the constituency base, whether that's the Canadian Olympic team or all Canadians, that voice is really important. You create better outcomes for folks. So after, 20 years in my kayak, I, like most athletes, needed to retire around 35, needed to find something new to do, and missed being part of Team Canada. And now being part of the Canadian government is the same type of kind of nation building, teamwork. It's also competitive. Like, I like politics because you have to win if you want to get the job done. So, I wouldn't say dream job, but it's a great job. I love it. It's a massive privilege. And I love working with Mark Carney. He's a huge football fan, and the Prime Minister is really excited for the World Cup next year.
Adam, something that Sharms didn't mention, but maybe he did in a few other records that maybe we've had today, may or may have not had today, is that Sherpas, they're your guides, but they also carry a lot of baggage. And we as football fans, and especially soccer fans here in Canada, we carry a lot of baggage. So are you familiar with that as sort of maybe a new fan to our Canadian national teams, but then also maybe club football and what it means to be a fan in Canada?
Definitely. I'm a long-suffering fan of teams that I've always wanted to do well. And so I know what you mean, Amy. And by the way, I see you're wearing a jersey. I was going to wear a jersey, but congratulations to the Vancouver Rise. I got a Quinn jersey here. And I was born in Toronto. Like, I'm a Toronto sports fan, so it was tough to watch the AFC go down at home. But great football. You know, I love an outdoor sport that is impacted by weather. Like, it was real. So the answer is yes, 100%. Obviously, like, particularly men's soccer has had, and no shade on Jimmy whatsoever, a challenging go. It's a world-class sport, and like a lot of our best talent goes to hockey, and unfortunately a lot of our best men's football talent has had to go to other countries to find great competitive opportunities. But finally, we got a men's side that is extraordinary and world-class and qualified, and would have qualified under their own steam as well. So 100%, I can't wait to cheer on this team. I was at the Ecuador game, last week, and had a great time, even though it was the nasty draw. But it was a great game nonetheless.
One of the recurring themes, I actually did some research on you, Adam, but one of the recurring themes on Footy Prime is the threshold for kids to get into sports. And I saw you in an interview, and you were talking about being raised by a single mother and going to the rowing club or the kayak club as kind of babysitting, but as an activity to get you involved. How do we, as a government, as municipalities, local federations, get more kids involved in sport? Because we all know what it can give back. How do we get more kids in sport where all of a sudden this financial issue is the reason they're not playing, from the 70s and 80s and even early 90s that we all kind of grew up in?
100%. So, you know, there are multiple barriers to access for sport. Financial is one of them. It's probably the biggest one, but it's certainly not the only one. And I think we've got to reduce all of those barriers. One of the barriers is not enough infrastructure. There's not enough facilities. Sometimes it's a long transit ride. Sometimes it's a long drive. And sometimes it's completely unavailable in community. So we are putting forward a big effort as a government to invest $51 billion over the next 10 years in community infrastructure. Now, that's for everything from, wastewater systems and public transit all the way to community and sport, physical activity, recreational infrastructure. But it's a massive amount of money and a huge investment in Canada, and it's truly time to build. So that's just one of the barriers, that sort of environmental barrier of not enough close by infrastructure. But I think one thing that I went for a run this morning with the new CEO of Participaction, and we were talking about schools and how schools are Canada's biggest sports team. Kids are active in schools every day, or at least they ought to be. Daily physical activity in schools needs to continue to be a priority, because if you're not finding an opportunity for kids to be physically active in that 6, 7, 8 hour period of their day where they're at the school, and they've got recess, they've got activities, they've got phys ed class, then it's unlikely that they're going to develop the physical literacy for after school or before school programs, or the interest. There's also a lot of equity in a sports school program, because everybody can join, and a good phys ed teacher will make sure that everybody's included as well, regardless of ability or background or ability to pay. So we work with great service providers and agencies. Canadian Tire Jumpstart's one, but Participaction is another. The Canadian Parks and Recreation Association, Jumpstart, I think I mentioned, but Kidsport as well. So all of these groups we've been working with as a government to make sure that sport's more available and accessible and affordable for Canadian families. But like, charity can only go so far. We need structural change. And to be honest, I think all of our national sport organizations can play a stronger role in the implementation of low and no cost sport for kids across the country. That's got to be the leadership role. But then, of course, like, it's not as though Canada Soccer is going to be making sure that kids in Milton and Burlington have soccer available. It's just a leadership perspective and like a policy change. For 20 years now, Canada has been funding sport primarily through On the Podium for success at the Olympics and the Paralympics. I actually think that success at the Olympics and the Paralympics is an outcome of a really fair, safe, and accessible sports system that includes everybody. So I believe in funding the podium from the playground and all the way up through the system, rather than sort of trickling a lot of the funding at the top of the system and hoping that results in a more active population. We just launched the third version of the Canadian sport policy in the summer. And the primary goal of the Canadian sport policy is to increase the participation rate and the physical activity rate of Canadians. The first one failed, the second one failed, and I'm determined to make sure that the third one doesn't. Mm.
But like you said, it comes down to money, right? Other countries, you see the government bankroll their sport. Australia is an example in more recent years. Canada has never really done that. Is it up to the private sector as well to step up a little bit more than it already has?
Private sector definitely has a role to play, and I think they have to see the value, right? For some company out there to invest a lot of money, they're going to have to see a return on that investment. I'll say that the federal government definitely sees a return on our investment, but we also need to see every province and territory play a role. And you know, I wasn't too shy about saying that the education system and daily physical activity in schools needs to be a priority, because I think that's the main touch point for a lot of kids. The vast majority of people will probably only ever play sports through their school system, whether it's in elementary or high school. If kids, young people and athletes go on to play for clubs, eventually their province or even their country, that's an amazing pathway that we want to continue. But we need every level of government to participate. And it's tough actually to compare countries. I've done my best to try, but not every country has the same provincial government system that we have. So asking every province and territory to also submit their sport budget does make it more clear that Canada as a country perhaps isn't as much of a laggard as people have said in the past. But it's true that other countries invest more in sport than Canada. And it's one of my main missions to make sure that we change that.
Adam, on the morning of the NSL final on November 15th, you were part of that announcement that the government was going to provide support upwards of $5 million to the NSL clubs in order to improve their infrastructure. So that was huge. What about the legacy piece and the funding that's available for Canada as a co-host for the World Cup? Will there be more money and hopefully more injection of that type of support into what you already alluded to, where at the community level, we badly need mid-sized stadiums and also just infrastructure for kids to continue to participate in sport?
No, thanks, Amy. Great. Thanks for highlighting the FedDev Ontario investment. What that was emblematic of is my effort to try to get more agencies funding sport through the government and not just relying on Sport Canada specifically for grants and contributions. So what that was, the $5.45 million is through the Federal Economic Development Agencies. So we're actually investing in sport as a business, because it's revenue generating, because it's good for the economy, because it creates jobs and it improves the infrastructure. So it's a different form or a different style of sport funding. And, you know, I'll say that some sport leaders from national sport organizations in the quote unquote amateur sport, I'm sure like Jimmy and I both probably hate the term amateur athlete. But, you know, the reality is I don't think there's that many amateur athletes competing for Canada anymore. Like, everybody's a professional. It's your main job. And it's certainly true of all of the women competing for the six teams in the NSL. But the reason this is different is we're funding that sport organization because of their business acumen, because of their top line revenue numbers. And they didn't beat out another sport organization for that funding. They beat out tech companies and manufacturer companies and like universities and innovators. You know, it actually is very, very cool that the sports sector is producing a business plan that is beating the businesses that usually have access to this economic development funding. Like, I have an AI company in my riding that I'll visit in December when I'm back home from Ottawa that received a similar grant. It's also one time, and it's structured more as a loan than as a grant or a contribution. But it is part of my effort to try to get like Health Canada, like Indigenous Services Canada, the Canadian Armed Forces, every agency in the federal government considering why they might want to invest in sport.
Adam, I got a question for you.
Go ahead, Jimmy.
When we look at Canada, we do have some world-class athletes, but one of the problems is we just don't know enough about them. We don't promote Canadian athletes. And I always think, you know, if you took these athletes and you promoted them and put them on a pedestal, it gives that younger generation something to strive for. You end up finding the sport that you kind of want to gravitate towards. How do we make that better?
It's a great question, Jimmy. Canadians love to listen to and enjoy Canadian stories. Whether it's, you know, you live in Sarnia, you love hearing about an athlete from Sarnia, or you live in Victoria, BC, you love reading about an athlete from Halifax. It doesn't matter from your, you're from your hometown. It's a huge country, and we all feel like a strong sense of association. Whether you've been to Whitehorse or not, you can imagine what Whitehorse feels like and looks like, because we've seen, you know, it on TV and on our phones and whatever. So one of the investments in Budget 2025 that I was really proud of is $150 million to the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. The best place for us to view our own stories, to tell our own stories, and frankly, to protect our Canadian identity from the onslaught of stories being told in the United States or in the UK or Australia, New Zealand about those people and those athletes and those events, which are just as important. But for Canadians, if we don't actively tell our own stories, promote our own people, and rise them up, and like, it is a competitive environment. Attention, like the amount of time that we have and the amount of time that we spend looking at these things every day, that's a commodity. And Canadians need to be, in my view, more proud and even audacious about promoting our national identity through sport, through culture, through the arts, through, you know, what Canadians live in Hollywood, or what Canadians are working in Europe, or what Canadian companies are doing well abroad, or what Canadian athletes are in such and such a league. You know, and I think you're bang on, Jimmy, like we have to be better at telling our stories. So that $150 million going to, the CBC was a great investment. I'm a huge fan of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation because it's ours. And like, I'll get a little bit political with you guys. Nothing made me crazier when the leader of the opposition, you know, was talking about tearing down the CBC. I was like, no, I will fight. This is something that I will fight for. I know that, like, you know, the CBC might not be perfect. We might not agree with it all the time, but like, do you really want your national news broadcaster to just tell you that you're right all the time? Or do we want it to challenge us and to like inspire us sometimes, or to make us think a little bit differently, or to present an idea or a perspective that may not be ours? Like, that's good. You know, just like the BBC does, every country that I'd want to live in has a strong national broadcaster, because they realize that their own stories are their most important imports and exports. So I can't, you know, every national broadcaster in Canada does that, but the CBC is truly the one that's like ours. 100%.
Well, I think Adam, if you're a real sports fan, you watch CBC on the weekends, they cover sports that aren't necessarily the big four, so to speak. And that's what we don't get in this country, is that there's more to sports than the Olympics, than the NHL, than the World Cup. There's the Diamond League. I grew up in England, and as a kid, I watched track and field every night of the week. It was available to me. I think over here, we just think, oh, these great athletes pop up every 4 years, maybe every 2 years in a Pan Am or a Commonwealth. And oh, there they are. What are they doing the previous four? It drives me crazy as well. Are we actually a sporting culture here? I don't think we are.
That's a really good point, James. And I think given that you have that perspective, having, you know, grown up in the UK, I think that England is in a different competitive environment with respect to sport, because you're always competing with like 30 other countries in Europe. And there isn't the same like big three sports leagues that we have here that like swallow up probably 60 or 70% of the attention, right? Like the NHL, the NBA, and the MLB, just swallow up so much attention. And then, like, I don't want to say that the CFL doesn't, because they certainly do too, but those big professional sports, just like American football, Canadian football, baseball, hockey, and basketball, really consume a lot of the oxygen in the room. Whereas in Europe, you're right. Like, I used to love getting over to Europe for a World Cup tour and watch Eurosport. And yeah, see a track meet on TV. You never see a track meet on TV in Canada growing up. I used to run track, like, you know, I used to run 1500 and 800 meters, and just like watching these athletes that you only ever see at the Olympics. So 100%. I love CBC Olympics, like as a channel. And now that TV is like so on demand, you know, I've obviously got Gem on my TV, and sometimes I just, you know, making breakfast or whatever, and I'll just put on the beach volleyball from the day before in Australia. How cool is that? You know, that we can go on demand amateur sorry, I said amateur again, Jimmy. Neither of us were amateurs. but you know, like, yeah, I think the new on-demand way, and like the fact that we can follow whatever we like and follow the people that we like and the dogs that we like and the athletes and, you know, everything on social media, it provides us with that opportunity to do a little bit more on-demand attention seeking.
Adam, recently my alma mater, sadly, McGill, canceled a bunch of sports. And a little story, my old girlfriend went to U of T for track and field. She was looking at McGill. She ended up being a Rhodes Scholar. What would you say to the myopic kind of view of canceling these sports that for student athletes, plus once again, the evolution of athletes and student athletes and sporting in Canada, what would you say to the McGill administration who did this right now?
Well, I'm pissed.
Thank you.
And like I was texting with Bernie Surin. Sorry, Jimmy.
I said you're pissed because he let that his girlfriend go. She sounded decent.
I think I'm doing okay now, Jimmy.
Come on now. It's that kind of podcast. I get it. This is what you have to deal with, Amy. Amy, this is it, right? This is what you have to tolerate.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. We have to reconcile the bitterness that comes from this man below me. Yeah.
Yeah. Jimmy's not bitter at all wearing a Jays hat right now. Well, like I am pissed off because I haven't done a full deep dive on the why this happened, but I know that it has something to do with something that's happening in Ontario too and Alberta, which is lack of public funding for universities and colleges. There has been a tuition freeze and a lack of public funding for our institutions of higher learning. And learning is not just about chemistry class. Right. And like full disclosure, my partner works at a university. She's a professor at U of T. And I have an M on my wall, like a McMaster letter on my wall, not because I was a varsity athlete, but because they were nice and they gave me a letter because I was an athlete while I was there. And I won some Olympic medals when I went to McMaster, but I never competed for in a varsity sport. Tried out for the cross country team and they let me run in the woods, but I don't think they're really.
They're like, here's a bib. Just yeah. Go on, Adam.
Yeah, I wasn't very good. But what a shame that we, and you're right, myopic is a good way to describe it, that we've decided that it's just about your degree and not about the experience and not about the friends that you're going to make and the people that you're going to become lifelong friends with. One of my colleagues here still runs with her university teammates. And, like, she's in her 30s and runs with her university teammates every year at a race because of that lifelong camaraderie. I guarantee she doesn't do chemistry with her chemistry, you know, teammate, whatever. We go to university or college in Canada for that academic credential. But what you ought to be able to gain while you're there is a heck of a lot more than just a degree. And, you know, if we're losing sight of that, and if premiers are losing sight of that, that provincial election in Quebec and another one in Ontario and Alberta can't come fast enough. And I hope people realize that funding our institutions, whether they're educational, broadcasting, storytelling, defense, is important because that's who we are. That is who we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Chemistry has bonds, but sport creates lifelong bonds.
There it is. Whoa. There it is.
Amy.
Thank you. I'll see myself out. Thanks, Adam, everybody.
This is what we deal with every day with Dubs, by the way, just so you know, these awful puns. But before we continue, I mean, how much time do we have with you, Adam?
I'm good.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Because we've got probably like a million more questions, but we do respect your time. You're more important than we are. That's for sure. So about the World Cup. Are we ready? Are we prepped? I mean, do we understand what's going to happen here? I speak to a lot of people around Toronto who are, you know, excited. The whole world's coming to Toronto and Vancouver. It's going to be something that we've never seen before.
That's true. Maybe
the Olympics in Vancouver, perhaps, but just you know how football fans are. Are we prepared?
Yeah, it's not going to be like the Vancouver Olympics. I don't think comparing it to the Pan Ams of the Vancouver Olympics is a worthy comparison. It's going to be different. But it's going to be also different because we're talking about six games over, I think, about 5 weeks in Toronto, and 7 games over just a little bit longer period of time in Vancouver. So it's not like people are going to be going to a sports event like every morning and every hour of every day for 2 weeks like they do during an Olympics or a Pan Am Games. So it's going to be exciting because the hotels will be full and the restaurants will be packed, and that's exciting. If people in Toronto and Vancouver don't like that, then, you know, I think it's a good time to go to a cottage.
Because rent's out your house.
Yeah, but what's better than having that economic activity, whether you're a soccer fan or not? Like, you know, what's better than having all of the businesses in our, you know, two of our largest cities busy? That's what I want to see. You know, on the news this morning after I finished my run, there was talk of a recession. I don't think we're going to be in a recession. And I think one of the reasons is because Canada hosts stuff and we put our hands up and we say, yeah, we'll take that on. We'll take on that challenge. We'll embrace that opportunity. And FIFA is one of those. And if we were like a shy nation that was like, no, we can't afford it, then like, we're not going to grow either, right? The grass grows where you water it. And we're watering the grass by investing in an amazing opportunity to bring the world to Canada. And it's going to be a huge success.
So where'd you get that line? Where'd you get that grass grows where you water it? That's a wonderful line. I love
on
that.
On your run this morning. You mentioned earlier, Adam, I'm sorry to loop back from this and maybe distract us for a second, but you were on your run with somebody who's representing Participaction now?
Yeah, Brian.
Have you ever gone on a run with Hal and Joanne?
They're
here, like childhood heroes of mine. Hal and Joanne. Yeah. Body Break.
Hal and Joanne are on Instagram. You can go to Body Break on Instagram. I follow them. I don't know if you do, but now that we have that in common, I know that I'll be sending you, like, you know, the latest trick about how to prepare your smoothies in advance or to fit in a couple of extra steps during your day. I mean, one of the things that we had chatted about with Participaction is, you know, when you're like out knocking on doors, talking to people about politics and you bring up sport, a lot of parents will say, you got to bring back Participaction. And it's never gone. It's just not the exact same thing as it was when we were all kids, when you used to get like a ribbon for like doing a hula hoop for 5 minutes. I was never the hula hoop champion, disappointingly, but Participaction is a health promotion, physical activity promotion organization, does a lot of great research and a lot of great sport implementation. But all of these national stakeholders are focused on like low and no cost sport. And we need more of that. So they're all saints. Everybody that works for these groups that are promoting and creating opportunity for sport are doing a great job.
Wonger still has his Participaction. He actually has it sewn to his jean jacket.
I do. Award of excellence. I did the flexed arm hang and hung on for, I was about 108 pounds. So it was easy back then.
That's more impressive than dating a Rhodes Scholar, Wonger, and more surprising too.
Yeah, things happen in my life, Sharms. I'm a book. I'm a TV show. You never know what's going to happen to Wonger.
Still drives his IROC.
Hey, Adam, you won't remember this, but we played in a charity soccer match a number of years ago now. And first
right
of all, that's right. First of all, I was beside you in the locker room. And just if you're like me, don't sit beside an Olympic kayaker in the locker room.
Because
you feel like magnificent.
You change like really quickly,
Sharps. Yeah. Over to the stall in the bathroom.
Well, in that match, I did my knee and I thought I'd broken my leg, but Adam actually helped carry me off the pitch. I don't even remember that or not. And it was humiliating at the same time, it was inspiring as well. So I'm happy to say that the leg wasn't broken. I thought it was at the time. But I do appreciate that. I always will. Thank you, Adam, for being there in my moment of need.
I knew we'd played before, and I didn't know that you were the guy that we carried off. Sorry. That's a great memory.
I need more information, though. Was it like kind of rom-com where like you just cradled him and carried him off on your own?
That's what I remember.
He's like carrying a bag of jelly.
It was a extension of my left knee. I thought I'd broken my leg. I've never had the pain in my life. It was awful. But you mentioned that, you know, at 35, you had to find a new job. But how are you physically feeling now? You said in a previous record, you'd kayaked 150,000 kilometers over that in your career. Like, how are you feeling now physically after that kind of career?
Well, I think everybody, but maybe like, you know, Amy and Jimmy can probably relate to this. Like, it's hard when sport goes from being your job every day and you're like, your daily ambition and like what's on your agenda to what you'd like to do, but it often falls victim to, oh, I got to get groceries or, you know, do something for the kids, or I have actual work, I have to earn a living, and it's not coming from kicking a ball or saving a ball or paddling a kayak anymore. So it's a real challenge. And you'll be happy to know, James, that if you want to get changed with me at the YMCA sometime, then I'm pretty soft. And
I don't believe you.
Definitely do not look like an Olympic medalist anymore. So maybe I'll see you. I'll see you down at the YMCA sometime. We can like sit in the sauna and talk about my software.
Yeah. Can we put that on socials? Can you guys like make really intense eye contact as you change?
I would just say,
reminisce about when I got to carry you physically.
Charms can tell you this stories about his dad, how he kept on trading him when he's playing rugby.
Yeah, I've got some stories.
Sad.
Yeah.
Very
sad. I should see a therapist, I tell you.
This is therapy for me. I don't know. It's free. So
well, you're welcome on anytime. Yeah. Absolutely. Listen, Adam, thank you so much for this. Really.
Oh, Charms, wait one more. Adam, where are you going to be at the December 5th FIFA World Cup draw? Because Craig may be there too.
Oh, no way.
Got invited for the FIFA Legends. Oh, I can't tell which side I'm on. Yeah. So,
hey, Craig, yeah, I might see you there.
That's great. I will be there. I'll be down in D.C. and looking forward to, I think yesterday I saw that the are they called pods or something like that?
Pots.
Yes. I've never heard that before. So now there's pots and like we're starting to, you know, there's those four like UEFA. There'll be play-ins, right? Like we'll find that out in the spring.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we know that those four are from Europe and then there's two other FIFA ones. So yeah, it's all becoming clear. And that's exciting because then once we know who's coming to Canada, we can do a couple of things. We can direct market in those countries and create opportunities for, you know, something specific. For example, if a Dutch soccer fan wanted to come to Canada, fingers crossed, like I'm a Dutch soccer fan, that would be pretty cool. And we want to make sure that we're working with those ambassadors or high commissioners to create opportunities for the teams. And, you know, they'll all be looking for places to train beforehand. So, yeah, it's an exciting time. We'll be down in D.C. in a couple of weeks.
Awesome.
The Dutch fans are brilliant. So they would be great in Vancouver or Toronto. Are there certain teams you don't want to see in Canada?
I don't want to talk about that.
I think we can guess.
Very diplomatic, Adam. Well done. Yes.
Adam, thank you so much. Really enjoyed it. Hope to have you on again sometime between now and the World Cup.
Yeah, thanks, Charms. Thanks, everybody. That was a lot of fun. Anytime.
Thanks, Adam.
Thanks, Adam.
It's Adam Vancouver, and hopefully he won't do his back in shifting those bags up the mountain.
Or your bags.
Hensting Norgay.
Jeez. Can you imagine Charms in a changing room with all of these athletes?
Oh, no, there weren't that many athletes. There was, I know it was Adam, and I think Steve Montador was there too, actually, I believe. And
he's a hockey player, Steve Montador?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, great guys, all of them. A lot of fun. But I did my knee and my leg, and Dunlop was actually doing the play-by-play on the tannoy. Mm-hmm. He had so much fun. When you realize it was me down, rolling around.
Oh, I bet.
You can imagine. Well, I thought I broke my leg. You know, when you hyperextend it and you just go over and you're waiting for the snap.
It's terrible.
Oh, God, it's awful. But Adam is there to save me.
Yeah, obviously very memorable for him.
Yes, clearly. But what a great chat, though, eh? I mean, I think it's reassuring, right? We have these people. I mean, listen, we're going to be putting this out there. There's going to be a lot of people in certain political leanings having issues. I'm sure that's just the way it is. But he's one of the good guys.
And he gets it. And he gets it from our angle. Like, and we've been pushing this for decades, you know, trying to do it. And it's nice that he's in a position of power that he can at least influence people and hopefully make a difference. And I think he will.
Yeah, absolutely.
Getting exciting, isn't it?
It is exciting.
Yeah,
it is. I take after the draw, it'll be tangible. Yeah,
that's it. That's the word, Forrest.
Well, they announced yesterday, so it's official. The playoff teams, the six playoff teams, will be in pot four, which means there could be some pretty tough groups. Not maybe a group of death per se, but some tough groups. And the top four seeds will be kind of separated. Like one and three will be in the same half. So Argentina and Spain can only meet in the final, essentially. which is interesting. The first time they're doing that, it's less random. Well, you know, in previous World Cups, you have like really heavy side of the bracket.
Yeah. I like that because it reminds me of, you know, when there's an injury in tennis and all of a sudden you have one of these great tennis players coming back, but they're ranked 32nd, 38th or something, even though they're the defending champion. And then they meet the other top players too early in the tournament. That happens sometimes way too much. And it's not great for the, it's not great for the tournament.
We will see Cristiano Ronaldo having seen his ban. I'll say reduced, but it should have been 3 games. It was an elbow, not a terrible elbow, an elbow, a suspended ban. Yeah. So he served the one ban in the last match of qualifying, which they won 9-1 because they missed him so much. But he'll be available unless he does something stupid between now and the World Cup. And this is a superstar player getting his way, but I'm kind of happy about it. I've had, like I said before in a previous record, a complicated relationship with Ronaldo over the years as a fan. But I want to see him in his last World Cup, maybe here in Canada. Who knows, eh, Craig?
You never know. It would be massive for Canada with our Portuguese population. That would be it would be magical for them, yeah.
Are you happy, Craig, that the ban was essentially lifted?
Am I happy?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm happy. I think we're seeing that there's certain rules for some people and certain rules for other people. you know, you're some schmuck, you're going to get 3 games of your violent conduct, and that's just the way it is. And if you throw your shirt at the referee like I did, you get another couple games.
You and a schmuck.
Come on. I was a schmuck. Yeah.
I guess. Charms, you'd be the before and after picture, eh? In the change room, Adam and Ronaldo, you'd be like, here's what a normal person looks like.
We're not the same species.
Right.
It's very different. I'm closer to
the evolution of man. You're like the monkey.
You know the picture? Like, you know, the on all fours. Right. Yeah. Somewhere in there is me. Right. I'm upright.
Yeah, big jaw, Neanderthal looking motherfucker.
No ass. Big jaw, no ass, and soft. Yeah. That's right. We did, as you may have realized, we did a couple of records before this. We had issues technically. But we did discuss John David scoring finally yesterday. We should just touch on that again. Thankfully, hopefully now, Jimmy, he'll get run of games, right? He came off the bench, scored the winner in injury time for Juventus against Bodeglind. If you're Luciano Spalletti, you're going to start him against Keller in the weekend?
You'd like to see that. I mean, look, we all know you can score goals in Champions League football. You can score in one of the top leagues in Europe, playing in Ligue 1. And now he's at Juventus. But I just think you have to utilize his strengths. You got to make him successful. He's got to be in the box. You got to give him the ball because he can score goals. We all know he can score goals, but he needs a service and he's got to be utilized the right way. And I just think at times he's not. I think he's a little bit too isolated.
This is going to throw in topics, kind of pad out the show.
No, they were good. And Promise David scored and it was perfect timing because yesterday's YT drop, YouTube drop, was all about Promise David playing more. And Dubs actually went on Twitter and wrote, just leaving this here. And it was Promise David scoring with a pointing down to our podcast, which is all about Promise David starting, really.
And he actually could have been sent off in that match. He had picked up a yellow early, and then it wasn't a stomp, but as the goalkeeper, like he was running onto the ball, the goalkeeper came out to claim in the edge of the box, and he stepped on his foot. So, I mean, a referee in a different state of mind or maybe a different mood, that could be a second yellow. And then his goal, I believe, came a couple minutes later. But, I mean, doing what he does, right? Jimmy, you're talking about John David being that fox in a box. Like, that is exactly what Promise David does, right? Is he's just there, Johnny on the spot, and he scores. And maybe John David getting going, like, hopefully there's a little bit of momentum now. We know that he traditionally has slower starts with club. But maybe this is giving Jesse Marsh some pause. That I know all the work that John David does more is that 10 or that false nine, and how relied upon he is when they're defending, because he's so intelligent, he's so clever. But maybe your scoring woes are helped by moving him higher up the pitch. But do we have anybody that can play the role that he does with Canada? I don't think that we do.
Not many. Not many countries have that. The great number tens. I don't think there's as many anymore as there used to be. Mm-mm. Maybe that's recency bias. I don't know what it is, but you don't quite see it as much. Why is that? Creative players, Jimmy, Craig.
I don't know.
I think it's part to do with development as well. I mean, you know, even today when I see a lot of these younger coaches training the kids, they all want to be like Pep Guardiola. It's pass the ball, move the ball, pass the ball, move the ball. But you've got to allow kids to express themselves and be creative. And if you put the reins on them and tell them when they get in the final third, oh, look for the pass. No, let them go 1v1. Let them not be afraid to make a mistake. Because if you don't make a mistake, you're not going to learn. And I think the creative side in football, you have to let it come out of these kids. And I think today, I think it's too much all about passing and move, pass, move. No, there's a time and place for that. Let kids be creative and express themselves. That's their little theater when they're out in that pitch. That's where you see their character come out. You have to let them go and play and enjoy it. That's my thought of the day, Sharm. So thank you.
Well, you'll tell what, Jimmy. It was a very well articulated thought. That makes a lot of sense, actually. And I can't believe you think Pep's the enemy of modern football, but still.
He's wrecked it.
Pep's ruined football.
Yeah.
By the way, just going back, just dawned on me, going back to the whole, you know, with Adam about Canada as a sporting nation, health, you know, participation, and then the evolution of man. It's only until the most recent evolutionary stage that we eat three meals a day, right? Prior to the upright man, pretty lean, fed on berries and the occasional walrus we caught or whatever, right? But it's true. We're all soft now because we eat too much food.
Yeah.
And it's all highly processed.
Processed food.
Yeah, but three meals a day, I mean, it's quite recent. We're in this little, tiny little moment of human evolution right now.
Do you all eat three meals a day?
I don't actually really anymore. I certainly have most of my life, clearly.
Yeah. Two big ones.
I've taken the piss out of myself already. You don't need to pile on. Jesus.
No, now we're just piling on Charles.
I know. No kidding. Like the pounds, apparently.
No, I eat two. I kind of have coffee in the morning, and then I have like a lunch, and then dinner.
I'm two now, and it's I want to lose my brother has lost 15 pounds, and I'm like, dude, you're killing me. I've got to lose 15 more.
Probably down the couch cushions. That's where you generally find them. You lose your pounds.
What?
When it's a Sterling joke.
Yeah. Oh, dumps. Again. All right, listen, we shall say farewell. We're back tomorrow. By the way, another guest tomorrow. Vancouver Whitecaps fans, you'll be happy about this one. Sebastian Berhalter will be joining us to talk about the match against San Diego and just what this year's been like for the Whitecaps in this legendary season when they have that kind of, I don't know, team of destiny kind of feel to them. I hate that saying, but kind of getting a bit of a feeling.
Density. Like density, they're heavy.
Density. Is that what it is?
Back to chemistry again.
That's right.
Thomas Müller tweeted something like, let's fly to San Diego. I was like, yeah, you fuck it better.
Maybe not so aware of the geography and the vastness of North America yet, right?
Yeah, I think it's more of a metaphor, guys, flying.
I know.
All right, Spuddy Prime. Hope you enjoyed that. Thanks to Adam and COVID, and we're getting back on the show for sure. Until next time, cheers for listening.
Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com to sign up for our newsletter if we ever make one.
We need a still of him carrying you off injured. I need to Google that.
Rhonda.
Yeah, video of that.